Jeff Raspy here with you on this, what's today? Tuesday afternoon. And Kurtz and Kristen from the Gripweeds have joined us. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Jeff.
We're great. We're great. Really glad to be here.
We're exhausted. We've been working on this new record. We're out of our minds.
Months or years?
Years.
Well, you know, there was the big push to get it done recently. So.
Ah, see, that's, and I've told people this for however long I've known you guys, which is since years. Like 89 or something. You guys have always had your own home studio.
Yeah.
Even going back to before it was relatively convenient to have a home studio. And actually, we should probably talk about this because they're probably...
Before computers.
And before computers.
Oh, yeah.
Because nowadays with computers and software and, you know, a lot of the things that have come since the late 80s, it's a lot easier to set up a home recording studio.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to sound as good as being in a studio, in a room or building that is supposed to be a studio.
Acoustics, you mean?
Yes. but you guys have had the home studio, the House of Vibes.
It's a little bit more in the home studio now.
Well, yeah.
There's other people who record there.
It grew.
And which leads to a number of things. One, and I don't know that I've ever asked you guys this, and I've known you since 1989 or so.
What were we thinking?
Yeah.
there's a reason.
Well, one thing could, you know, the obvious answer would be, well, we don't have to pay for studio time. Well, you had to build your own, though.
Well, the first reason why we started doing that was to make our own demos, like everybody does, and like, you know, anyone now is getting a laptop and GarageBand or whatever to make a recording to see what the song sounds like. That's the number one reason.
We just had to get a tape machine.
But back then it was like you needed pieces of equipment to do that. But even though all that said, the old days, you had to do all that. You had to jump through a lot more hurdles to get to the point of actually hitting the button. And now it's a little bit easier. But there's still technique. You still have to place the mic. You still have to say, oh, that's good, and that's not good, you know, and things like that. So there's technique that you learn. But what we, basically what we sacrificed was having the best, greatest, biggest sounding record when we started. Because we weren't there. We were just above a demo studio. We got ourselves up to the point of, considering that we were going to make a record from our demo, basically, and making it just a little bit better. So we got it up to that point. But, you know, there was a learning curve. And the learning curve, we're still on the learning curve. You know, it's been years, but we're still on it. I think if you stop learning, that's when you quit.
Yeah. But, and over the years, it's become a full-fledged studio that is well-equipped to do more than a demo.
Yeah.
I mean, over the years, you've had the Doughboys there and the Easy Outs there. The Smithereens have been there.
Mark Lindsay.
I was going to get to Mark Lindsay.
That was a new one.
Among
many others.
Yeah.
Many others.
Yeah.
Gary Lucas and Najma.
Najma, who worked with, well, Gary Lucas was with Captain Beefheart.
Yeah.
And Najma was with Paige and Plant.
Oh,
actually,
wow. Okay.
She was amazing singer.
She was Robert Plant's girlfriend, even. So it was interesting talking to her about all that stuff. And she was a wonderful person. But
we also had Ladysmith Black Mambazo in there.
Was, wow.
Unbelievable.
They were doing a show at the State Theater, amazing. And we're just down the street.
Sure.
And they needed a place to record. So they all came over.
And there's a lot of them.
There's like 12
there's
of them.
A lot of them. Yeah, we had them all in a ring.
Yeah, so we've had a strange array of people.
You know, I was just thinking about this recently. So I think somebody asked me, I remember when we finished House of Vibes, which is also the name of the studio, but it's also our first album. There's no coincidence there. It's because we recorded it there, and it was the start.
You know?
And it was the house.
It was a house, and it had vibes. but I remember when we did that record, we were just able to do it. By that I mean we were like playing it for people going, is this okay? Does this sound all right? Is the bass good? You know, did we get it right? And it was that uncertainty, you know? And flash forward to now, like 20 years later, and we're putting out this new album, and it's like, we know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And this is the way we want it to sound. And we're confident, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah. We're coming from a much different place than we were back then. Maybe the songwriting is still, there's similarities there, but the actual recording, the way we go about making the record is much more confident and assured now.
Yeah, everything's do-it-yourself with the Gripweeds. We do everything.
It's like put on a
hat. It's like put on this hat and run over here, fix this mic, get behind the drum kit, go sing, go play guitar. You know.
Oh, you want a record? Okay, we'll get behind the glass.
Oh, yeah.
You're the engineer.
We'll do the photography. We'll do the artwork, you know, everything. But it's fun that way. You get to control everything and see it come to fruition.
We were pioneers.
Yeah.
We were pioneers.
We still are.
You know, well, that's actually what made me ask the question in the first place a few minutes ago was, wait a minute, back in 1989 or whenever I first met you guys, nobody did. I mean, you maybe hit record on a realistic cassette player.
Yeah, there were the cassette
to record
players,
a demo.
Right.
But you guys actually built a studio.
We had reel-to-reel machines.
We're just tinkerers, especially these two guys. I work with these two brothers, Kurt and Rick Ryle, and they're just... Like mad scientists.
I remember, kind of. Mad. I remember it was always such a hassle to plug things in. You know, because we didn't have, our setup wasn't as streamlined.
We had snakes running down way into the bass snake. Not, you know, like animals, but like cords.
But yeah, audio snakes.
It was a lot of fun. But it was always like a head scratcher of like, oh, how does this go? Everything had to be done like...
We had to learn it.
From nothing, you know. I'll plug that into there. And, you know, I mean, I'm still doing it. We're still doing it now, but we have a patch bay. And anybody out there who knows what patch bay is, it's a lot easier.
And we still use tape, but we have a combination of computers and tape machines. And that's why people love coming to the studio, because you can get that big, rich sound from the tape machines, but you can have the convenience of the software.
Of being able to work with software,
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because, like, you know, working with digital... you know, you can plug things in, like they show. They call them plugins.
Plugins.
You know? And it's you hit a click, you hit a button to do it. You don't have to move. You know, and that those days it was like, you know, it was pretty.
Yeah, it's funny
tough.
Clicking the mouse versus like moving the tape machine, like clicking it on and rewinding and things like that.
But you know what? Another story about the first album. I don't know why. We have a new album, by the way.
We're here to play the
but
new
this
album.
This is kind of funny. I remember we had a listening party for the new for the first album 20 years ago. And a friend of a friend came in and he saw where we had recorded it.
Oh, no.
And he just went, "You guys were here?" We were on like a extended porch.
It was a porch.
We had this little board that was the size of, I don't know, what? It was like a tiny, it looked like a mouse pad. You know, it was tiny.
And like there was a little bathroom was the vocal booth.
Yeah, it was really like makeshift. But we got a record out of it.
Yeah.
You know, we got it. So it's just, it's funny.
But our new album doesn't sound
they're
like
still
that.
Laughing. Right. Actually, they're not laughing anymore.
Yes, there is a new album, How I Won the War, the brand new one from the Gripweeds, which came out last week?
Yeah.
Last week.
7th, yes, April 7th.
And we're going to play something from it. Actually, the title track
starts
one,
off with a bang.
How I Won the War, which includes a whole bunch of sounds.
Don't be scared.
Musical sounds, but sounds.
Well, they're musical now.
Yes.
As we call them that.
They're our psyches.
Well, you know, a record's called How I Won the War, and what better way to kick it off than with a war?
Yeah, with a little tiny audio war. Yeah. Brand new Gripweeds on Brookdale Public Radio, 90.5 The Night. Brand new music from the Gripweeds here on 90.5 The Night. And two of them are here, Kurt and Kristen. How are you?
We're great.
Very well.
The title track to the new album, How I Won the War, which is, well, actually, there's a whole thing behind the name. There's a whole thing behind the name and how it actually connects to the band's name. Yeah. Which is a question I'm sure you're inherently tired of answering.
Not really.
After all these years. What does Gripweeds mean? And of course, there's an obvious thought that comes to mind when
which
you hear
we don't
the
discourage.
No, with this album particularly, it really matters what the name means because it all ties in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that tie-in would be.
Well, the tie-in would be the front cover of the album. Mm-hmm. It's evoking kind of John Lennon. Who is, it's not John Lennon, but it's evoking what could be John Lennon.
As his character in the movie, How I Won the War, which was kind of an obscure movie that he did with Richard Lester back in his Beatle time. And not that great a movie either, but but he had a cool-looking character.
Right home
he
about.
Had a cool-looking character with a name called Private Gripweed, which...
When we were looking around for a name all those years ago, we were drawn to it because it seemed something like, remember that band, The Grassroots?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like that.
A little organic with an edge, maybe.
Organic, and at the time there was a lot of this techno, metal, mm-hmm. you know, things were kind of like, you know, synth, and we didn't want any of that, so we went for this kind of earthy name. And we always thought that it would help having this obscure Beatle connection should people be interested or even in the know about it. It wasn't something we said, hey, actually, this album, we really didn't say anything about
it. Right, and that's, I mean, I, just because of how long I've known you guys, over the years, I've been informed to find out that Lennon was in this movie that I'd never heard of, and his character was named Gripweed. I'm like, okay, so
we've
that's
gone public, where basically. This,
yeah. Everybody we comes up to me and says, is that John Lennon on the cover? Did you guys get a picture of Lennon that you
it's
could use?
It's just an incredible simulation.
Yes, yes. Because it actually does look like the picture of him in character from, I guess, the official stills or whatever of the movie.
Like I said, it's evoking it, but we wanted to do something a little more supernatural with it. And I had a vision when we were talking about names, and I just thought of this idea of this guy, this
soldier
opening up his jacket and a shaft of light coming out of it. And I didn't know who it was going to be, where it was going to be. I just had a vision of it. I didn't know how far we could get. But then each band member chipped in a piece. Like Rick said, well, it can't be any one of us. It's got to be somebody else. And I thought, okay, well, that's good. We'll have an actor do it. That's a good idea. And
we actually have a Beatles song that we recorded on the album. It closes the album. It's called The Inner Light.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Harrison, which the picture actually evokes the...
Well, that's a whole other story unto
there's,
itself.
There's a lot. but there's a lot of things going
Dave
on.
Dave DeSantis, our latest number 8 bass player, as we were talking, he's interested in war kind of memorabilia.
He's a collector,
I guess you'd
call
it, or the weapons of war.
Yep.
Not war itself, but the weapons of war and the
uniforms and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had knowledge about, oh, you can get that uniform at this website where they do reenactments and, you know, and so we bought the uniform and he chipped in with the hat and the glasses. So we're like, okay, well,
now
we're
on our way.
And we
found a Johnny Bravo to fit in the suit.
We
shot out in the fields in New Jersey.
That's
some war footage.
And then we kind of, you know, hyped it up a little bit and made it a little more supernatural, you know, with the shaft of light and stuff. So, you know, I think the cover, I'm hoping, is open to interpretation.
Yeah.
About, you know, yeah, it could be Lennon, but it's a soldier. And why is he... What is this? You know, I hope people look at it and go, wow, picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah, at least what does think about it. Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're hoping it
does. What's nice is our label, Gem Records, put out vinyl, so you can actually see it.
Yeah.
We got the vinyl on Friday, and I mean, I like designed the cover, and I was like, wow, this is really nice. I was very happy on Friday.
Cool.
Good job.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it's odd because there's other tie-ins. Let me know when you want to talk about the songs. And like Kristen said about the Inner Light, that was if you want to talk about it now, I don't
well,
know.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to say, because the there is a theme, there's a concept to the album.
Well, yeah.
Conflict.
The title, okay, I'll give you the short version.
Yeah.
Right?
Good.
I was working with the Smithereens, and Pat Denizio is a very enterprising musician. Let's put
yes,
it that
he
way.
Is.
He's real smart.
Yes, he is.
And some of it rubbed off.
Have you
off
come
on
to hang
him.
Out with him on Thursday nights at Langos to Lounge?
Yes.
Yet?
Oh, yeah, we saw him.
Cool.
It's a really sure. funny show.
Yeah.
We have a good relationship, and I was working with him one day, and I think we were talking about, oh, your next album, you should make a solo album called Private Gripweed. I'm like, well, that's a good idea. And then some out of this idea came How I Won the War, that it wasn't his idea, but it was of these conversations we would have. And so it was like, oh, Gripweed's How I Won the War. That's a really good sort of press angle. And then
the band was going through a lot of turmoil.
So,
you know, we've been we're a family. We've been playing together for years, and we had some stuff to work out to finish this record.
Right,
not just musically, but, you know, personalities. Mm-hmm. And
it was kind of like coincidental that the things we were going through as a band were exactly what the title was. And so it wasn't much of a stretch. And we were like, well, you know, we did a double album. We've done a Christmas album. We've done, you know, a live album.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should try a concept record, something that has a little bit more of a unified sort of theme. Nothing really strong, like we're not doing Tommy here.
Right, it's not a concept album in a Tommy sense.
You could take each song as a standalone, and it's not like it's, you know, sort of advancing a plot. There's no plot.
Yeah.
It's just a theme of about various forms of conflict. And we had this, subject matter to draw on because we were going through some issues as a band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
well, not what the, I mean, did you think the next album was going to be a concept?
Well, like I said, I mean, we had the title, and it was, well, what does How I Won the War mean? What war? And then it was like, well, we're kind of going
we're
through all this
in.
Stuff. And it was like the idea of conflict was kind of heavy on, at least on my mind, you know, and I was thinking, conflicts, they're all similar in a way that's like man against the environment, man against, you know, on someone else, a relationship, a battle in a relationship, you know, conflicts within your own self. You're fighting yourself a lot of times. And just all these different forms of conflict seem to have a lot of things in common. And one of them is that you really want to stop.
And we really wanted to work things out and get it straight, and that's how I Won the War, you know.
And that became, like, it was really useful to have this title because, number one, it's positive. So we didn't call the album War.
Right.
Or, you know, some negative spin. It was like, you've won. So everybody wants to be on the winning team, you know. I want to win. Don't you want to win? Well, we won. So as we were going through our issues, and, you know, my brother and I particularly, we'd have these, like, sometimes, without getting too much into it, you know, these shouting matches and stuff. And I would just say out
but
loud.
But brothers do that.
Well, brothers do that, right. And I would say, you know, the album's called How I Won the War. We're going to win. So we just have to find out how, you know. And it became this, like, self-fulfilling prophecy.
We actually had a summit for band unity. We had a meeting, and we discussed our issues, and we worked things out.
We won the war.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's it.
So this isn't our last album.
No, it's not. That was the thing. We didn't know what was going to go on here. We thought this could be it. Oh no! You know, we had a similar thing that happened in the live record after our bass player number 7, Michael Kelly, left the band. And we had this similar exit point of like, oh, this could be it. And we have this live record we're putting together, and we're thinking, oh no, I don't want this live album to be like our epitaph. You know. And luckily it wasn't, because number 8, Dave DeSantis, came through the door.
He was our lifesaver.
He was our lifesaver.
We can play that song, yes. Jeff.
yes, I was going to play Lifesaver in a moment.
So similarly, this album was, we didn't know what was happening, and we were just in this turmoil, in this conflict, and we felt like we'd find a way out. And it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy by calling the album that. And we did work out our issues. We did have a summit meeting where we all said, we all apologized for everything we did to the other. And we were able to get over it, and things have been great.
Good. Right? So the idea I had was, we just played the title track, How I Won the War, which is track one. And you brought up the George Harrison song, The Inner Light, which works its way into the album artwork.
And the narrative.
And it is the last song on the album. And Lifesaver, which we were just talking about, is in the middle somewhere. So we'll go to the beginning, go to the end, and then go to the middle.
Should we talk about
before we let you go?
It's an interesting story.
Yeah?
Yeah. We didn't intend to record that song. We didn't record that song for this album.
Ah.
No. It was recorded for another label that wanted us to do a song for a compilation, Beatles compilation.
A psychedelic Beatles compilation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did record it, but we thought it was too good to give to them, so we kept it.
The song became sort of an epic. I mean, it's like it took on an epic proportions, and we're like, do we really want to give this away to a compilation? No.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So we kept it back. And then we're dealing with Marty Scott from Gem Records, who at the time, I don't know if we were signed at the time, maybe we were, but he had heard all the music that we were doing. And he goes, so what else you got? He sits down in the studio, what do you got? I said, well, I got this Beatles, The Inner Light thing. And I put it on. And after the song, he goes, well, that's on the album. And I said, No, we hadn't intended on that.
It's a cover.
We don't want to put that on the record. He's like, wait a minute. You have Private Grip Weed, John Lennon, on the cover of the record, opening up his jacket with the inner light coming out? Of course it's on the album. Yeah, I guess you're right.
And that's why Marty Scott is Marty Scott.
And that's why he's really infamous. Good idea man. He had the idea. And once we thought about it, we're like, yeah, that's... That not only is that song perfect for the record, it's the ending of the album.
Yeah.
Because after you have the conflict, it's like you've risen up to another level. You've evolved. You're over it, and you're a better person for it. And the inner light is like, that's where you've the place you've
become
gone.
A ball of light.
Absolutely,
you become a ball of light.
Absolutely,
so that's why it has a place of honor as the last song.
And it absolutely fits. It works. And we're going to hear it now on WBJB FM Lincroft Middletown, 90.5 The Night. This is another brand new one from the Gripweeds on the album How I Won the War, a version of the Beatles' The Inner Light on 90.5 The Night. And that is how the new Grip Weeds album ends, with a version of the Beatles' The Inner Light off the new album, How I Won the War. And Kurt and Kristen from the Grip Weeds are here hanging out with us for a little bit on this Tuesday afternoon. Before we forget, we should mention that you actually have a couple of area appearances, which is somewhat out of the ordinary, because as long as I've known you guys, you don't play out a lot. And I always attributed that to as being because you're locked in the studio.
Partially. Partially.
We have played all over the world. Just, you know, we don't play. We're not like a constantly touring band, you know, but we have done shows all over the place. And we will be playing locally. We're going to be at Vintage Vinyl next weekend on Saturday afternoon.
That would be not this coming Saturday.
That's right. The next,
oh,
not
right.
this, the next.
It's 2 weeks.
That's
I'm 25th. Sorry, I don't have a calendar. Is it 25th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then we're in Garwood, lovely Garwood, New Jersey, mm-hmm. at a cool club called Crossroads.
Indeed.
And that's on May 8th, which is a Friday night.
Cool. Do you know who with?
With, I don't know.
Okay.
With ourselves.
We're the headliner, but our show is at a reasonable hour. So
yeah. Like 9 o'clock, nine or something. I think.
Yeah, so we're going to play like a full show, kind of. So, you know.
And the album came out last week.
Yeah.
On the Resurrected Gem Recordings.
So now we have to play.
Ah.
You see?
Marty's making you play now, huh?
Marty's making us play. I love to play, actually. I love playing live. I do.
Yeah, it's tough. Really? Touring's tough. So we do spend a lot of time in the studio. That's what we do.
But as anyone who knows me, I can vouch for this. The Grip Weeds have always been one of the finest.
That's a good choice.
I know. Searching. Well, I was searching.
Because I almost said loudest. Because wow, that's sometimes true too.
That's true.
We're a pretty fun live act. We're pretty high energy. It's like a freight train.
Yeah. I mean, always have been. Like I said, I've literally probably been seeing you guys play live since 1989.
That's a long time. So
yeah.
You've seen a lot of different incarnations of the group.
I have indeed. Yes. Yeah. And as much as I've seen you guys over the years, it wasn't until what, like 3 years ago that I found that you and your brother Rick grew up 6 seconds from where
I grew up. Right. Where'd you live? Demarest or
Creskill.
Something? Creskill, that's right. Yeah, we were from originally.
Was that
from,
like Dumont or
Dumont.
Something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the funny thing was when we did that song last year or the year before, Lies.
Yeah, the Knickerbocker song, yeah.
They were named after the road Knickerbocker Avenue. And that was like literally streets away from where Rick and I grew up.
And it was literally the street I did grow up on.
Well, they're kidding.
Oh, wow.
All these connections is pretty unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing. Like, for years, because, you know, when you're from a small suburban town, you grasp at anything. All these years, I knew the Knickerbockers were named after Knickerbocker Road. And, you know, the other thing that the other classic music thing we latch onto in Creskill is that Gary Wright was from Creskill.
Yes, that's right. Right.
You just met him recently, didn't you?
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, he was at the Beatle Fest.
Oh, cool.
He's a nice guy. And I don't know if you read his book.
Yeah,
I have not.
It's very interesting. He talks about how he almost died, actually.
Really?
In Creskill.
Wow.
Yeah. Like something about a car going over a cliff.
Hmm.
And he survives.
Really?
You know, so he felt like he's pretty blessed after that.
Cliffs,
you know?
Cliffs in Creskill.
Yeah, wherever.
I'm trying to think of where that might have. I mean, there's
it was some kind of overpass. He said going in this. I don't know. It's not that important.
I mean,
right now.
But it is. I mean,
it's not about the album. It's not that important.
We're close
how
to
he wrote Dreamweaver.
We're close to the Palisades cliffs,
right?
Above the Hudson River. But if you went over that, you'd be in the Hudson River.
And his friends died, and he walked out in the car. So.
Right, got to read the book.
That's got to I mean, right there, you really got to read this book.
Wow,
and
okay.
He talks about, you know, the tie-in with The Inner Light, interestingly enough, is that he talks all about George Harrison because they were personal friends, like really close spiritual friends in their journey of like meditation and going to India and all this stuff. So
the Interlake. Okay.
The Dreamweaver.
Mm-hmm. It's there you go.
And Kreskill. And the Gripweeds. It's all one.
It's all
I knew that we were going to get back to the Gripweeds. I knew we'd get back.
You brought up the version of Lies by the Knickerbockers that you guys did for a compilation album. Did you choose that? The concept of the compilation was Jersey bands covering classic Jersey bands.
Yeah,
for Sandy Relief. That's what.
Yes,
it was.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes,
we chose it
intentionally because of Knickerbocker.
Well,
and where you and Rick had grown up.
Again, it was the connection. Yeah, but also because we couldn't think of a better song for us to do. We thought,
well, it is a song that lends itself to being gripweeded.
Right. So you know, that's an easy one for us to, you know, kind of do.
Cool.
And you know, I'm glad we did it.
Yeah. Yeah. We
play it live and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's a video of it on our website.
There is
too.
A video.
I believe we played it.
You did play it.
Yes, we did.
There you go.
Next Saturday at Vintage Vinyl up in Ford's. And then May 8th, which is a Friday, at the Crossroads in Garwood, which is for anybody who doesn't know where Garwood is, it's not as far away as you think.
It's just up
the
road.
No, it's centrally located in beautiful New Jersey.
But it's just one of those towns. It's just one of those towns that most people have never had reason to go to.
Yeah.
So you don't know where it is exactly.
And you can come out. They got great food.
It is kind of, yeah.
They got great Mexican food and it's in a decent hour. So you don't have to stay out all night.
It's a nice kind of venue where you can actually have food there that's, that's good. And,
absolutely.
You know, they got good beers too.
Yep. The new album came out last week, How I Won the War, The Gripweeds. Kurt and Kristen from The Gripweeds have been hanging out with us for a bit this afternoon. And we're going to play one more song off the album. It is, in fact, the song that we've been playing for the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it would be technically the single, but it's our single.
Could be.
It's our single.
Focus track.
It is a focus track.
Yeah, they don't have the little round thing anymore. But
it's not
the
a seven
single.
Inch.
Yeah.
There's an LP.
And if, I guess, at Vintage Vinyl, you will have not only CD, but vinyl copies of
absolutely,
the album.
Absolutely, yeah.
As well as at Crossroads.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And, of course, folks can find you on the interwebs at?
Gripweeds.com.
Gripweeds.com, without the,
right. But it's pretty simple otherwise.
It is. Gripweeds.com. And
if you're lazy, you could just Google The Gripweeds. It'll come
and up. It'll come up.
Yeah.
And we're going to play Lifesaver, which we were talking about a little earlier. So now, there is a concept to the album.
Yes.
And actually, I'm tickled by the fact that there's a song called Rainbow Quartz on the album as well. Yeah. But that's for a different reason.
What reason?
Which,
would that
we have a reason. What's your reason?
You get this thing about gemstones, rainbow quartz, gem. It's all about rocks.
So now, Lifesaver, as I'm looking at the back of the album now, is actually track 4. Mm-hmm. And if you follow the timeline of a concept, you might think that Lifesaver would come later in the story.
You might. But, you know, since it's not a story.
Well, there's actually the lifesaver. If you read the lyrics to Lifesaver, it's actually about someone who is your lifesaver, but they also let you down, too, at times.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like someone you're really close with. You also, you know.
It's conflict.
There's conflict there,
right,
Jeff.
In the middle
there's
of the conflict.
There it is. Yeah.
So it's really not that he's saving you. He's kind of like, you know, he's the one that got you in trouble in the first place. <you know? laughs>
Perhaps throwing a lifesaver out to you.
Yeah, and by the way, we were thinking about the little lifesavers.
Yeah.
You know.
I had not thought of that until literally 12 seconds ago.
It's a nautical song, right? Yeah,
we've been playing it for a week or two, and not once did I think of the candy lifesaver until just now when I said it out loud.
Commercial possibilities.
Ooh, yeah. Tell Marty to get in touch with the Lifesaver people.
Marty, get on that if you're listening.
I think he wanted to put little Lifesavers in the packages for radio. He did, but it didn't happen. He goes, oh, I forgot that.
Instead, we put toy soldiers.
Which also works, too. So thank you guys, as always, for coming and hanging out with us for
great
a bit.
Thank you,
and
thanks for your support all these years.
We love your station. Listen
our
all
pleasure.
The time.
We get up to the house? Or are you down here for some reason?
What?
You can pick us up at the house?
Oh, no, on the internet.
Oh, okay.
On the interwebs.
Ah, cool.
On the interwebs.
So you're one of the folks who listens online.
Yes, all the time.
Excellent.
The time.
Thank you.
Actually,
I have
can.
The app on my smartphone, which is mm-hmm. so convenient, folks.
Nicely
get the
done.
App.
Thank you.
We can catch you, though, if we're in
sometimes.
The right
yes.
street.
If
know,
the wind
around.
Is blowing just
the clouds
right,
are right.
Up
yeah.
by Highland Park. But,
yep.
But the little iPhone app is the best. I love it.
Excellent. Thank you. This is a new one from the Gripweeds from the album How I Won the War. It is called Lifesaver. Again, thank you guys. And go see them at Vintage Vinyl next weekend or Crossroads in Garwood on the 8th of May. And then who knows? Marty will probably put you to work throughout the summer.
Yeah, you know, the show on the 25th is a Gem Records showcase. So the Weaklings are
going
to be there.
Oh, you've been playing those guys.
We
too.
Have.
Yeah, they're going to be there.
That's a double.
So it's a double in store.
Yeah, it's double in store.
Oh,
it's Gem Records Day.
That's going to be special.
So it's going to be special.
Cool. Gripweeds and Weaklings at Vintage
Vinyl.
But
we're not doing that. We're going to do a longer set at the Crossroads.
Sure. Yeah.
So there it is.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And this is Lifesaver, Gripweeds on 90.5 The Night, Brookdale Public Radio.